Hey, what's going on, family? This is your boy, Brother Tech Nico, coming at you with another episode. And today we're going to kind of talk about the world's relationship with Africa based on their decision not to get into this Ukraine and Russian war sort of deal. And I was actually talking about this with someone the other day, which made me want to do this podcast because I wanted to put a few things in perspective on kind of why it's happening, kind of what to take from this, because sometimes, you know, the media will say one thing, we can report it, but there's always some things, you know, underlying things that we have to look through and analyze, right? So the first thing that we have to notice is the why. If you haven't noticed, this whole Ukraine against Russia thing has been highly politicized. We have to always remember the roles that certain people have, you know what I'm saying, or what their relationships are. Maybe that's a better way to put it. And if you remember correctly, the United States and Russia have not been on good terms for many, many, many decades, ever since the USA lost the Cold War. And unfortunately, I've said this a lot, but people don't know that we lost the Cold War. The Korean War and the Vietnam War were the results, right? But it's an interesting thing. But anyway, staying on point, they haven't had a good relationship. You know, you guys remember the controversy between you know, with Trump and the elections, and then it was also accused by Trump and Biden about Russia. You know, if you watch a TV show like CSI, Criminal Minds, you can even go back a few years, you'll find all these terrorists. And we have to also understand what these mechanisms are. Anytime that the United States, or what I really should say, Western societies, because this isn't really limited to the United States, this is actually how Western society does their business, or how a lot of people, you know, go about their business. When there's an enemy, right, they find their way into media because they have to get the people's sentiments feeling the same way. So let's say, remember when we had the war in Afghanistan? Well, remember every damn show had some sort of Afghanistan terrorist, but even if it was a comedy, if there was a villain, it was somebody who was Afghanistan or somebody who looked like that, right? Same thing with Russia. And this has happened for a very, very long time. We call it war propaganda. You know, this was actually something that we studied way, way, way back in high school, and they were talking about the Spanish-American War and the effects that they had on the psychology of the soldiers, because they had demonized the Spanish soldiers so much through the propaganda that when they actually sent the troops there to go fight, a lot of people were having a lot of trauma because, you know, Europeans kind of look similar. So they were killing people that looked like them, that looked similar to them. Right. And this was causing them a lot of grief, because the whole time before they were hearing about what kind of demons they were. All right. But I just say that to say that, and this even goes back, you know, because we talk about that on this platform. We can even go back to the Crusades and different things like that, like the way that the Europeans would kind of characterize Muslims, you know, as being devils and all this other kind of stuff. And you know, and vice versa, you had, you know, Muslims who hated a lot of people and demonized anybody who wasn't tawny, right? But I just say that to say, you know, that's sort of the lens that we need to look through when we're dealing with these things. You know, when you have one side who is historically, and I'm talking about like international powers and all that kind of stuff, have not gotten along, how they describe them is going to be biased because of their relationship, right? If we had a relationship with Russia, this would go completely different. You know what I'm saying? Because people do shit all the time, but you know, world powers tend to overlook what their allies are doing and pay close attention to what their enemies are doing. And the same thing is happening on the Russia side. Like, Russia has its own propaganda that it's spreading to its people. Ukraine has its propaganda that it's spreading to their own people. And, you know, the major world powers that are against Russia is trying to galvanize everyone. And it makes sense. Like, I'm going to tell everybody to go get on your map and go look at where the Ukraine is. You know, there's a lot of reasons why it would be advantageous for Russia to take control of the Ukraine. There's no denying that. But also, what can't be ignored are the reports of what the Ukraine has been doing, you know, against Russia. And evidently, based on some reports, Russia, although we do kind of look at them, like if we think about like the typical hacker, we always think about some Russian hacker. I wonder why. That's just super sophisticated and they're gonna go hack through your systems and blah, blah, blah. All that is Cold War stuff, right? Why we kind of think that? Because what people have found out is that, man, they were sending messages and all kinds of transmissions just over radio signals that were unencrypted. Like, it ridiculous, ridiculous stuff in Ukraine, and other people have been able to take advantage of that. So I say that to say, in regards to the African countries have a relationship with Russia. I know many people are familiar with the Al Jazeera interview when they interviewed Chimbori Adetokunba, and she was talking about like why a lot of African nations are kind of pulling away from the US in favor of China, in favor of Russia, just based on the way that they do business. Because at the end of the day, when you talk about where a lot of resources are, where a lot of people get a lot of their resources, it comes from these African countries. That's why it was conquered in the first place. Right? So now that things have changed somewhat, and I only say somewhat because as long as Africa's divided in a bunch of different nations, there it's easier for these world powers to kind of take advantage and, you know what I'm saying, and deal with them. You know, it's not like China, to where before European invasion, China was really split up too. It became China following the invasion because they realized that we cannot stand alone against these other world powers that are much greater. If we don't have the numbers, then we're never going to be able to stand against them. You know what I mean? So Africa has its position, and they've been actually very, very outspoken on the fact that they just want to maintain neutrality. So there's been a lot of foreign ministers disrespecting Africa. You guys can go look this up. There's a great channel called the African Diaspora News Network. I believe her name is Zola. Let me make sure I get the right name, because I don't want to tell y'all the wrong name, and you know, and you know, Wangel Zelalem. I may be pronouncing that wrong, but that's a name. That's a name. Very, very beautiful East African sister. Yeah. So, anyway, that's a really good person to kind of go to, and that whole news network in general. But they've been reporting about, you know, the kind of disrespect, and Wangel Zelalem. She just reported about how Finland had threatened certain African nations that they're going to pull funding and all this other stuff unless they support this war. And the person I was talking to the other day, they were just like, you don't see them doing that to China and all these other people. And the reason for that is that China's was able to build itself into a point to where they couldn't bully him. And if we just recall a few years ago when the United States was having issues, this is when Trump was in office and they were having issues with Korea, and they were trying to pressure China to do something. I don't want to lie and not give the right thing of what they were trying to do, but the information's out there. But they were trying to get them to pressure Korea respectively, and China was like, no, we're not going to do this. And the reason why they can't do it is because over the last like decade and a half, China and other what we would call the Orient or the Eastern Asian countries have built themselves up into major powers. Like about 50, almost 50% of the world's Fortune 500 are in East Asia. You know, they're competing with Europe and North America combined right now. That's why a lot of people are really, really scared about the Brexit and all these other kind of things, because you're talking about divvying up, you know, that kind of power. When again, having those resources, having that stuff united gives them a strength. Now, let me also point this out to you, because I brought this up in this conversation I had the other day, is that China, right before, like, people forget, before, like, around 2006, 2008, it was around the time they had the Olympics, there was a point where they were able to kind of pressure China like that. China was a place where they had all kinds of places open. They were outsourcing labor. They were doing a whole bunch of things in China. China was looked at as the stepping stool for a lot of other countries. You know, so while I did bring up the fact that, you know, that they had to unite, it took them time after kind of getting on the same accord to kind of get into a position where they can say no. And if you look at Africa over the last few years, they've been making a lot of moves, you know, kind of going away from, you know, Western powers and in favor of themselves, you know, kind of getting into this thing on the mindset of like, we're no longer going to let you take advantage of us, you know, and you've been seeing it. It hasn't been well documented by Western media, but the media is out there. You know, there was a point Ghana is no longer allowing Switzerland to have the cocoa, the chocolate, which is a major commodity for them. Yeah. The leader of Gambia don't want to deal with nobody. After he take over, he say, I don't want to deal with you. Right. You know, there's still some places like, you know, like the Democratic or so-called Democratic Republic of Congo. And I just say that because I like some of the things that they said, but there's some dealings that they have that I'm not completely cool, you know, cool with, but it is what it is. But you're starting to, but the point is they're starting to have this separation away from depending on the breadcrumbs of Western civilization. And they're saying, well, we're going to start doing more for ourselves. And if you want to benefit from us, then you have to give something to us. There was a big thing about, you know, Biden wanting to give some of these foreign countries some breadcrumbs as far as money, and only two countries accepted. Because they're just like, because they're starting to get the picture. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm saying. They're starting to get the picture. They're like, we want autonomy. We want to govern ourselves. And we don't want to have, like, because when you have autonomy, no one can tell you what to do. The United States can say whatever they want about China. They can badmouth China, say whatever they want about their regime and how horrible it is. But you can't make them change it because China relies on itself. You can't make them do anything. That's the same position that Africa wants to put themselves in. And also, going back to that interview that Al Jazeera had with Chimbori Arikana, she made the point about doing business and that the Russians and the Chinese come to them with more respect. Like oftentimes when the US comes down to a nation, it's not like they're having negotiations. They sit down, they literally tell them, this is what's gonna happen. This is what you're gonna do. This is what we're gonna do, and you're gonna accept it. And Africans are saying, oh no, 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 no. That's not good enough. So when you go back to what that Finnish leader said or whatever, like whatever, because what the hell is a Finland? You know, it's just a fart on the globe, literally. But they're coming at them with that same attitude that they were able to maintain all those years ago. And again, they're not going for it. So, you know, Africans, they have access to sources. They have access to information, you know, some of the same information that I have. They're not beholden to accept one type of media source or what one person says is fact. And there was another point that was made, and I want to touch on this, is that when Africa has a problem, when people are invading Africa and doing things in Africa, it's not a crisis then. You know? No, and nobody talks about the US bombing Syria, no one knows why. But going back into Africa, you know, when things happen there, when things are going wrong, it's not a global crisis. People pick and choose these world powers because, and we know the affiliation, so there's no need to, what's understood don't need to be explained, right? But these world leaders pick and choose who they're going to throw a cape on for. It is. I'll go harken to or go back to a story I talked about maybe a while ago about the Haitians and stuff like that. And there was a point where things were going bad for Haitians. Remember when, you know, Haitians wanted to come into the United States and Biden was like, hell no, nah, chasing them away. You know, well, fast forward, Haitians no longer want intervention. Now they want to go in and send troops. This was about a year and a half ago. Now they want to go in and send troops. Now they want to go in with the what would you the UN, it's the one European, what you call it? It'll come to me. But yeah, no, I think it's the UN. Yeah, they want to go in and send their troops. And we all know, like, we know about this whole manifest destiny, this whole how they get in to corrupt, how they get in to take advantage. That's always what they do. Oh yeah, now that you're all fucked up, let's send in our troops to quote unquote help you out, set up. No, that's bullshit. So they're like, no, we don't want that. We don't want to deal with that. You see what I'm saying? So, kind of just bring it back to this whole point about putting pressure on people. Like, we know what Western society is all about. They pick and choose when they want to help you, and they pick and choose who's worthy of being helped. You know? Oh, and the Finnish leader was threatening the things that they were sending Africa, that they're going to send them to the Ukraine. Like, pretty much, if you don't help us with the Ukraine, everything that we were giving you, we're just going to give it to them. And Africa's like, fine. We have to recognize what a powerful statement that they're making. And that's what I was telling, I'm not going to tell you guys who it was, but that's what I was telling this person the other night. That's kind of what we have to look forward to. Like, we are starting to see the beginnings of autonomy. I don't think it's too far-fetched to see some sort of unification. Now, the quicker, man, if only West Africa united, is like, I don't think people understand how many people that is, how much land mass that is, how many resources is there, right? That's why they split it up. So many resources, they were able to split it up. But even that alone would be something. But you're starting to see the beginnings of the pushback, right? So the other thing I want to bring up is that we have to be very, very careful about how they present certain enemies to us, you know. We have to recognize what the playing field is turning into. You know, a few months ago they were talking about this debt that's supposed to be coming this summer. You know, they're talking about all this money that's owed and all this other stuff. Like, we have to look at what some of the potential motivations may be as far as the United States kind of getting into this. Like, Western powers are getting desperate. That's what it is. They're losing their foothold. And the thing about Russia, what you have to know about Russia, is that Russia has been in the game forever. They ain't never getting out of the game. Russia has probably been the most consistent European world power ever. Maybe the only one that might be, you know, like Greece and Rome, like maybe that, but even still, like, you're talking about kingdoms that go back centuries. There was a point where Germany was a part of Russia. There was a, like, when you go into the ancient stuff, you called them the Rus. These like you want to talk about original white man, that's him, the Russian. Like, when you get into it, like, who this person really is. So you're looking at a bunch of people who've been able to have power for a limited amount of time, but again, they don't have the resources. Like, you need people, you need resources to have power, right? The biggest issue that European powers have, if you're not Russia, because Russia has these things, but the biggest issue is that you need people, you need resources, you need land. China got land, they got resources. All right? Africa has land. They have resources. At the end of the day, what do we all say? Money talks, bullshit walks. Well, when you look at what the Europeans have in terms of what they're actually connected to, it's bullshit. It's the people with the real money that's going to be able to do anything. I can tell you why the UN and the US wanted to go sneakily get their asses into Haiti. Haiti produces a lot of gold. They got a lot of, there's a lot of resources there. Resources that they could benefit from. And if you're already starving and hurting for cash, for money, you guys know that Brazil and another country is it might even be Ghana, that's moving away from the US dollar. You have to understand, like, that you have to start, we have to start recognizing the signs of the shifts in power. Okay, when France back in the day started losing power, the first thing they started doing, they had to start selling shit. They were losing money. That was the first thing. The second thing is that their education up until that point started to decline. As the thing with all of them. That's why Spain and Portugal failed. They came into the business too damn late, and their schools started to decline after 1492. They started to, like, and it's in the histories. They started to close down. They stopped close down the public baths and things like that. When you think about what Europe was between the 1100s and 1400s, you're talking about stories of bathing and hygiene and this and that. And then you go fast forward, think about Austin Powers and how fucked up his teeth were. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that that's part of the signs. When Rome fell, before that point, when you're dealing with the 300 or so AD, kind of getting to the point right before the Ostrogoths and Vandals got in there, what did they do? They destroyed public baths. They destroyed libraries. The centers of knowledge were jacked up. Look at the United States. What's left of these libraries that we used to have? Let's compare, especially public school systems of today, to what they were. There's high schools now that don't even have a history department. In some states, they're picking and choosing what the hell they're putting in there. No, we ain't gonna talk about MLK. No, we're not gonna talk about slavery. No, we're gonna talk about what we want to talk about. These are the signs, family. Money. People getting weird. But I'm not even going to get into that, because that's a whole segue into something else. But just these are just some of the signs. The signs of, and it doesn't happen overnight. The biggest issue that we have, and part of it is because of how we're educated in Western society, everything is instant gratification. We expect things to happen now. Like, we got a microwave now. You know what I'm saying? Gap in the car so I can drive there now. You know, I need money in my bank deposited now. Like, we used to this now, instant gratification. It's not about getting to know anybody anymore. Fuck falling in love. Shit. Give me some pussy. You know what I'm saying? What that throat game like? Throat babies. That's what it's about. Instant gratification. Ain't it about all this other stuff. And all this other things that they come up with to rationalize their stupidity. Because you can rationalize stupidity. It's called non sequitur logic. But all of this other stuff, like, that's the problem. We don't understand that it takes time for things to happen. You know, what happened 10, 20 years ago is affecting us today. That's what people don't realize. Let me give you an example of this. The strides that we were making during the 1950s and 60s and some of the 70s, because that's, you know, between the late 60s and, you know, and through the 70s going into the 80s, like, you're getting attacked by FBI and all this other kind of stuff. I'm just talking about black organizations. But the benefits that brothers and sisters were experiencing during the 70s, during the 80s, because people still remember the 80s was cool, was a byproduct of all the work people had put in decades before. When you start seeing them pull these things away in the 90s, 2000s, look at where we're at with this affirmative action shit. You see what I'm saying? Now things are starting to go back. But it's not going back. But it's been going back because of decisions that were made. That's how you win a war. Keynesian economics, what we know now is welfare, this whole bullshit child support system, instituted by a guy named Bob McNamara. We're starting to see that was developed in the 60s. We're seeing the effects today. Let's bring up this crack epidemic, this base rock shit. It wasn't killing, but it wasn't fucking them up then. It was fucking us up in the 90s, in the 2000s. And then during the 90s and 2000s, they came up with this. It became about the synthetic drug. That started hitting the streets. Dilaudids and all this other kind of stuff. People think people just started sipping syrup. If you from Texas, your ass probably been sipping syrup for over 20, 30 years. But if you don't know nothing, you don't know nothing. All of a sudden, the people who sold the codeine, they start coming out with different colors. One of the homies, I'm going to give him this credit because this is him. There's a movie called Deep Cover with Lawrence Fishburne. They talk about moving away to the synthetic drug. That's another reason why. We're going to talk about this. Because this is why the fentanyl thing is such a big epidemic. You have to think about it like this. There was a point in time, like, you have to remember the time of Vietnam and all that shit, what they was doing in Vietnam, the people they were taking advantage of, and you have to ask yourself, are you able to still take advantage of these people at the same capacity? Or do you have to make concessions and maybe make deals? Maybe you have to do business. What happens if they don't like you? Well, either you got to pay more or you can't do business. So if you're in the business of selling drugs, which we know that the FBI, they are, you get into the person who was supplying Freeway Rick Ross, this motherfucker was an FBI. He getting his shit from the feds. Kidding me? This is the reality. I don't give a fuck about what you guys think. Go look into everything I say. But there's a reason why that fentanyl, because they needed a drug, because they like, hey, we got all these junkies. We've been sitting over here because they've been, look, people have been doing heroin in this country for a very long time. That poppy plant is not unfamiliar. Asians, first of all, Chinese and Japanese Americans been here as long as we are. They were just not documented and they were not slaves, but they were not allowed to be citizens. But the evidence of them being here since they've been over in the Americas as early as, I would want to say, the 1600s, for surely the 1700s. Like I'm talking about Brazil, Jamaica, you know, all those places, because that's where you get the, the chop suey. That was made in, that ain't no real Chinese dish. But these Chinese folks had to go serve some white people, and, you know, white people was running shit, which they still are, but they was running shit back then in such a way to where if you made this motherfucker mad, that could be you, your life, your family's life, your wife getting raped. It's a bunch of bullshit. So they had to come up with a way to keep these motherfuckers happy. You know, that's how you come up with chop suey. A lot of this shit that they make over here was just made out of convenience. Like, they used their knowledge of how to cook with the shit that they have. Like, no different than how black folk cook. You know what I'm saying? In essence, the essence of it, a lot of us know how to make jerk chicken. We just ain't never thought about it. A lot of us know how to make roux. You know how to make gravy? You know how to make roux. You just ain't thought about it, but those are the things that we already had. We just adjust when we come down here. So what I'm almost lost my train of thought, or I did lose my train of thought, but no dead air, y'all. No dead air. Okay. So my whole point is the reason I had to go deal with this fentanyl, because I gotta keep it back to the main point, right? Is that they knew that relations were going to sour. They were not going to be able to take advantage of these folks. And then we got all these dope fiends, you know, going back to the 1900s. Shit. Because Pop's got a book about a whole bunch of famous jazz players, right? or people who are very influential in jazz and blues. And about half of them was heron heads. Well, where are they getting the heron from? How are they getting the heron? Now they selling it. But now these people that they used to take advantage of, you know, starting to come into more. Now we're fast forward into modern times. Shit, they're like, hey, we got our own shit now. We got money. We got military. We got hackers. Shit, we don't need you. Matter of fact, you still want this dough? Well, the price went up. You know, because, you know, our status went up, so the price then went up. You know, they like in other places, because this, again, this is not limited to the United States, even though that's what I'm familiar with. It's not limited there, but they're like, hey, look. It's cool, it's cool. We gotta think of something, y'all. What we gotta think about? We gotta think of some way that we can get, you know, some dollars really quick. You know, because they trying to charge us extra, and we got all these dope fiends here. They love heron, but can we make something that's like heron, but is not heron, so we ain't gotta pay that tax that they trying to tax us with? Because we've been fucking with them for so long, and they really don't like us, you know. So how can we do opioids? That's when you start getting into the Oxycontins and all this other kind of stuff, all the way until they finally hit the one. Because all of these opiates, you know, opioids, opium is coming, you know what I'm saying? For those in the town or live in the Bay Area, there's a good book for you guys to read called Dragon Wings. It's about this young Asian American who comes to San Francisco, and it talks about their life and like kind of growing up, and one of his uncles is on opium and all that kind of shit. Like, you know, it just kind of gives you its perspective. I just wanted to just kind of give you that, because I had to write a fucking book report on that shit years ago. But anyway, that's the situation. So now fentanyl, that's the new drug. Like, because they like, we're going to sell this dope. We're going to sell this dope. Huh? So, yeah. We're going to go ahead and sell this fentanyl and do what it do, and that's exactly what they did. Now, kind of bringing this back, because, you know, I like to go on tangents, right? You got to understand why people start to make some of the moves that they make. That's the point. You gotta know. All right, you got to realize when people are making moves out of desperation, when they don't have something, when they're losing ground. And my whole point about that was that Europe don't got poppy plants, so there's no way for them to sustain that kind of business, so to speak. There's no way for them to sustain that, because they don't control the resource that is required to make it. See what I'm saying? That's the thing. And Western powers are starting to get very, very scared, as these people are starting to blatantly, our people, let me not say these people, because they are people, start to blatantly say, you know what? Fuck you. We're not getting involved. We're not going to let you jiggle us and play us for fools. No, we have a mind. We have needs. If you want to deal with us on the up and up. Don't lie to us. We don't need to be lied to. We know the great liars that you are. So, yeah, you can miss me with all that. You know, that's a very, very powerful statement. That's just the point that I was trying to make with that. Before I start going on to these other things, because these things kind of cross over with a whole lot of different subjects. But I think it's important to note that what's happening now, it's bigger than democracy versus communism. Because quiet as it's kept, China don't give a fuck about Russia. They may be both communists, but they don't give no more fuck about Russia than China gives a fuck about Africa. Let's keep it all the way a buck. They don't. They don't. So it's not a democracy communist. See, that's what you call politics. You know. And some people, less like religions, like how people, some people follow religions, pick political sides or pick certain things for political. They don't really give a damn about it. We're going to do this the way that we want to do it, but we're just going to put it under this umbrella. But, you know, because we kind of do it like this, we can kind of leverage some other benefits. Like this is what it means to be a player in the world game. So, and I just say that to say, because you have a lot of people talking about that, and they'll talk about how one, and it is really, really irrelevant. See, people like that kind of want you to get to buy into this thing about good versus evil and all this other kind of stuff. No, the world is not black and white. The world is not a dichotomy. It absolutely isn't. Just because you claim that you are a democracy, that doesn't mean you're just. And I think that's kind of like how it's taught to us. Like if you're democratic, quote unquote, then you stand on the side of justice. You stand on the side of, you know, who's right. You're about people's rights and all this other kind of stuff. And that ain't true. That is not true. And if you notice, Africa don't really seem to care about these labels much either. You know, some may side with quote-unquote communists. Some people side with people who are quote-unquote democratic, right? But at the end of the day, they know who they are. They're Africans. And they know that all this other shit that's going on is just a game. Just a game. But why I wanted to bring this up, I just kind of wanted to talk about what's happening. That we're looking at the change that I've been talking about is on the way. You know, this nation being in the position that I think that it's going to be in, that I've predicted it to be in, right, is coming. It's showing all the symptoms. It's showing all the signs. The thing that makes me feel really, 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 really good is when I see these countries stand firm. Like they're like, even though they have not united together, they're still saying, you know what? No, we're not going to play this game with you. We're not going to be yo-yoed on a string for your benefit. And that's a powerful thing. That's a very, very powerful thing. If you take nothing else from this podcast, just understand that that right there is one of the most powerful things ever. Because they're letting you know they're getting to a point where these people, these Western powers, are not going to be able to take advantage of them anymore. That's how it starts. That's exactly how it starts. The moment you don't allow your oppressor to have their way, and anytime that you try to break away from an abusive relationship, there's always that shit. You know, they always try to make you think that you need them more than they need you. I'm going to take these resources away from your ass. And we're going to take all this stuff and give it away. What you going to do about that? Nothing. I'll be fine. I got two hands. I have two feet. I'm capable of figuring it out. And that's a tough thing for an oppressor or an abuser. When they know that they no longer have power over you. When they know that, there's nothing. There's literally nothing they can do. Because what that means is that they've lost the power. I guess that in a very long roundabout way, that's what I'm saying. That these are the signs that the Western powers have lost a considerable amount of influence over the countries on that continent. And even though officially you don't hear them say, you know, that they're united or there's no official unification, you are starting to hear them say more things about the continent or addressing themselves as Africans. So although there that may not be something that's officially documented on a piece of paper, I think it's important to point out that that's in the heart, that's in the ideology, that's how they see themselves. Even though one place might be South Africa, the other place may be Ghana or Gambia or Ethiopia, Somalia, they have this idea, this identity of being African. Now, why isn't this more pronounced? We have to also understand that because Africa had been invaded, had been controlled, you have a lot of invaders on the continent now. You can find Arabs in the Democratic of Congo, in Madagascar, in South Africa. You find Arabs all over the place, or just different. I shouldn't even just say that, just different groups of people, because Chinese are in Ghana. You like this idea that, most of the continent is homogenous is just incorrect. Of course you got coons, but you can't do nothing about them, but they exist too. But again, when you're starting to see statements like this come out, when you're starting to see them act more with more autonomy, more independent, that's evidence that the grips or the influence that these Western powers used to have over there is fading and fading fast. They're not the people aren't choosing for their leaders people who are easily influenced. And it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. So with that being said, peace, love, and light, because I don't want to rant or ramble. Just wanted to give you guys this little bit of information, just something that me and a friend talked about. And yeah, let me know what you think. So yeah, peace, love, and light, y'all.